so if you're really going to be a blessing, make sure first you're blessed. If you're really going to do what you need to do, make sure that you have accomplished it first. Make sure that you say, if you need an example, here am I. If you need to follow somebody, follow me. If you want to know how it's been done, let me tell you. But make sure you've done it first. Listen to this. Then will I teach transgressors. But what are transgressors? Because I think the reality of that is many of us don't really know who transgressors are or what they do. Well, there are four words connected with this word transgressors. One, it means to repel. Two, it means to rebel. Three, it means to resist. And fourthly, it means to reject. And so if you repel the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, like an insect repellent, you don't want it to reach in, get in, soak in, saturate in you. You repel it, you're a transgressor. But then if you know it and you won't do it, then you rebel and you become rebellious. But then if you resist, fight it, try to keep it from being a reality, then that in itself makes you a transgressor. But then if you just flat out reject it, I don't care what he said, I'm not following that word, I don't receive that word, then you too are a transgressor. And so listen at this, you can be a saint and be a transgressor. You can be in the house of God and still be a transgressor. You can belong to God and still be a transgressor. That's why the king, David, is saying, once I get it together. And this whole 51st Psalm was about him getting it together, him being cleansed and him being put on the right track and him being renewed and refreshed and all of the things necessary to make him worthy as a teacher, since he has been helped to help others. He says, I want to get it straight first, then will I teach transgressors. And the problem with this is you've got folks sitting in the house of God think that he's talking about somebody else. He ain't talking about the street folk now. He's talking about the church folk now. He's talking about somebody like himself, after God's own heart, somebody who loves the Lord and somebody who has a relationship with the Lord and somebody who's had fellowship with the Lord. He's talking about us. How many times have we transgressed the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, and call ourselves preachers? Don't get quiet, because I'm about to stop at your house. How many times have we transgressed the word of God and call ourselves deacons and deaconesses? How many times have we transgressed the word of God and then get up and put our choir robes on and sing his praise? How many times have we transgressed his word, his will, and his way, and come to his house and act as if God is not talking to you, when you know he knows you through and through? He knows what you did last night, last week, last summer, and every day you've existed on this earth. And yet you sit here all holy and pious, your nose stuck up in the air, your eyes half closed like you inebriated for looking at folk funny, when the truth of the matter is God is looking at you like you're looking at others. So when you talk about transgressors, don't get too comfortable, because that very well may be you. He says, I want to transform transgressors, because I need them to know, no matter how high your transgressions may be in your position, it includes you. How small or low you may be on the totem pole, it includes you. Whomever has transgressed God's word, God's will, God's way, David says, I want to teach you something. That there's got to be a change, that there's got to be a turnaround, that there's got to be a repentance, that there's got to be a coming to Jesus, that there's got to be a reckoning day in order for you to get your life right. God allowed things to happen to you for all sorts of purposes. But ultimately, it is for His glory and your good. God permits things to happen to you that you don't deserve to happen to you, but ultimately it again is for His glory and your good. Sometimes you look at things that happen to you and you don't understand how in the world this can turn out right, how this can make any sense, how things can get better beyond this point, what sense this makes in terms of my being drawn closer to the Lord. But the word of God says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. God's got a purpose for your pain. And all you got to do is trust Him and know that He's guiding this thing. And when it's all said and done, you might appear to be the victim, but you're going to be the victor, the winner in the end. Change to help change others. All over this country, there are AA meetings, Alcohol Anonymous, and other kinds of meetings. I could hear David saying, what I'm going to do in helping to change transgressors is I'm going to set up AHS meetings all over God's country. Wherever I am, I'll set up some AHS meetings. You know what AHS means, don't you? It means all have sinned. Lord, y'all getting quiet on me. I wanna set up some all have sin meetings, just in case you think it don't involve you, just in case you think it's beyond you, just because you think you didn't see or someone didn't see, don't mean God didn't see you. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to give you a reality check. I want to make sure you realize you too have got to get a tune-up every now and then. You got to get a checkup every now and then. Make sure everything is right underneath the skin with you and God. You have got to make sure that you recognize and acknowledge your sins and straighten them out so that God can use you to help straighten out other folk. What makes AA meetings so powerful is there are people of every echelon, every ethnicity, every educational level, every life experience in that room whose lives have been torn apart by some alcohol, some drug, some habit. And what he recognizes is that you can't change the addict until the addict recognizes he or she is an addict. You can't change the alcoholic unless the alcoholic recognizes that he or she has a problem with alcohol. Because until they recognize that they have a problem with it, they don't think they need to change it. I do it sociably. Well, you're the most sociably drinking person. When ain't nobody even with you, you sociably drinking at unsociable hours, in unsociable places. Nah, you an alcoholic. You gotta have just a little, yeah, taste. When it gets so bad, you gotta have a little taste in your coffee, taste in your orange juice, taste in your Coke, taste, which are y'all getting quiet on me here. Maybe you don't realize you've got a case rather than a taste of being an alcoholic, of being an addict, of having a problem. But nobody can reach an alcoholic like someone who was an alcoholic. See, that's one of the things that I think about God's plan. God has such a unique plan that even if church folk won't hear you, the folk that are hurting and really need you will. That's why God has changed us to help change others. And sometimes you can't change the folk in church, but I guarantee you can change the folk in the world. In the dark world, if you let your light shine, whether it's a little light, if it's a big light, if it's a medium light, when you show it up in darkness, it's going to create a change. My brother, my sister, it makes a difference. Because folk need a change. They want a change. They crave a change, but don't know how to change. And he says, listen, I'm going to transform transgressors. I'm going to teach them. And see, can I tell you, if you're going to teach, you got to teach what you've learned. The late, great C.V. Jackson used to say all the time, how can you teach what you don't know? And how can you lead where you don't go? You've got to first experience it your self. Then he says, and sinners and conjunction, tying it together, shall be converted unto thee. And sinners. You see, when the sinners see the transgressor get it together, then they become prime candidates for getting it together also. You see, you might be a saint who is transgressing, but when the world sees on your job, in your relationships, in your family, wherever you are, when they see you get it together, then they'll be willing not only to hear you because they have seen you make changes. Their ears are open to what you have to say because they are looking at someone who has experienced what they're talking about. And that's why God wants us, when we've been changed, to be evangelists, to go into the world, go everywhere, to compel men to come, to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, to tell the good story. He wants us to become teachers, where we teach the truth of transformation and how we too were transgressors, but we discovered it don't pay. That when we transgress the law of God, that you don't feel good inside. The devil has lied to you, hoodwinked you. He has made a fool of you. He's played you. It ain't all it's cracked up to be. When you learn it, you can tell somebody, you feel like this, don't you? Yeah. And you felt like that, huh? Yeah. And you felt like this now. And then when you tell them how good you feel now, you can say, it's because I have learned that transgressing God's law just don't pay. And the devil is is a liar with his false advertisement. God's way is